Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Em, and with a new year comes a new series, and that's five things. Because can we just get to the point already? I'll still be interviewing some of the most inspiring women out there who are making moves. Only we're going to get right to the good stuff. So we're talking the five key takeaways to get you all of the value in a quicker, snappier, more digestible episode. So with that, here's five things with Chloe Watts. Chloe, hello and welcome back to the Big Move podcast.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me, Em. It's great to be back.
So great to have you back on and also have a little bit of London on the pod this week. I'm feeling extra nostalgic being that I'm back in America now. So great to have you on this week.
Yay. I wish that I was coming from a sunny London, but I'm not, even though it's spring.
Fair enough. And same over here. It's reminding me of a London day. It's pretty dreary and bleak. So we're on the same page here.
All good.
Perfect. So Chloe, we have a lot to cover in a short amount of time. We're going to dive right in. For those that don't already know who you are, can you give us the backdrop, what you're all about?
Absolutely. So I'm Chloe Watts, and I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Chloe Digital. We provide growth strategy and business development to creators, giving them the strategies to scale to 7+ figure businesses.
Epic. We have all the questions for you and can't wait to get into it. So I know we've had you on before, but we're going to do a little refresher. And I always ask my guests what their big moves are. So is there something that is like kind of top of mind for you since we last spoke, a pivotal turning point, a big transition, or something that you want to share with us or touch on today?
Sure. So I think when we last spoke, it was many years ago. And now, I mean, in December this year, I'll be 9 years in business. So I think I maybe spoke to you at a completely different stage of my business journey. So I would say I would have had several big moves since then. But I think the best one to kind of touch on is how we've been able to stay relevant in the creator economy as it's continued to grow. I think, you know, taking it back to 2014 when I started the business, we were tech support for bloggers. That's what the business was. We offered tech support for bloggers. Everybody had a blog and we would look after the back end. And then we've pivoted over time to not only look after the back end of a blog, but now we're the back end of the business of being a creator. So I think the big move for me is like how we've been able to constantly understand what the market requires and match our service to make sure that we stay relevant, but also build a successful business off the back of it. And one of those major moves and one of those major ways we've been able to do that is that we've really tied our impact to the revenue of the client and tied our impact to actually the revenue growth of the client. That's what I mean. So how are our impact strategies taking our clients from X amount of dollars to Y? And that's been a huge change for us because we're able to make sure that we are in a position within their business ecosystem as a very pivotal piece of their puzzle.
Totally. I feel like there's so much to break down there. And you and I last spoke in like, I want to say it was like 2018. And as you said, like the landscape has changed. We would need like two or three episodes to cover that. But so I guess my question for you and like where Chloe Digital comes into play now is like, so bloggers are now, you know, we're called creators or influencers or, you know, whatever word you sort of want to use, but like, what's a creator's like home base now? Like, is it their website or like, what is that kind of looking like?
Sure. So for us, we do always believe in owned platform. You know, I'm sure you've seen everything that's going on in the news with TikTok or the changes that always come up with Instagram. And we have been singing from the same hymn sheet since the beginning that you need to own your own platform, whatever that looks like for you. I think before people were worried about that because they would think, does that mean I need to be doing this long form blog content? And it doesn't mean that at all. It just means to have your own platform and you can do with it what you will. So that's super, super important still now. But for us, it's more so about thinking about what the big audacious goal is for the creator business and how do we reverse engineer that and build out the strategies to achieve that goal versus saying, I want to be the best Instagram influencer or the best TikTok creator. Mm-hmm. It's about your internal goals, your legacy that you're trying to build for yourself and your family. And then how can we leverage these platforms, the strategies, and how can we help you grow a community that you can build a business off of?
Totally. That makes a lot of sense. And I guess if you had to give like a creator, like one or two tips on how to like create that ROI for brands, like what would be like one or two top tips that you would sort of advise? Because I see you guys are putting out so much like infographics and like tips and tricks and like amazing advice to creators. I'd love if you could share any of that with us here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as well, that kind of touched on a good point about a misconception around like a creator solely being there for the brand. So the relationship, that the end goal for the creator is just to have the best brand partnerships, the best long tail partnerships with a brand, etc. But for us, we don't see that. We see the holistic view of the creator and how that actually they can build scale off the back of their own community and then see brand partnerships as one revenue stream as a part of a bigger whole. So yes, I can say, okay, well, when you're looking to work with brands, what type of ROI, of course you want to build up meaningful partnerships with them as you would with any partner for any business, making sure that you can deliver on what they've asked you for based on the content that you're producing for them, based on the type of audience demographics that you have, etc. But I think it's also important for creators to think about how does the brand fit into their ecosystem and what they're looking to build? And is that helping them build a stronger affinity with their community so that they can get to a scale point with their business where they can create something that they know that their community would know and love based on the partnerships they've had in the past?
Totally, totally. So like all goes back to that community, like audience first. Is that how we should be thinking about things?
Absolutely. Yeah. Audience first, refining the audience, building community off the back of that, but also understanding the, getting the insights and getting the purchase understanding of that audience. You know, what, who are they? Where do they like to shop? Know as much about them as possible, because then if you understand them and then you also understand any problems that they're experiencing in their lives, then you can build out the solution for them.
Totally. And I'm asking so many follow-up questions off of my literal first question. So you're such an expert here. So is there like a next wave, you think, when it comes to content creators? I feel like right now we're seeing like UGC, like user generated content. It's this like buzzword, obviously TikTok. It's all about TikTok. Like, what do you think is next? Podcasting. Like, what do you think is sort of like this next wave?
Sure. So because there's more and more creators, it's like creators are seeping into every different possible distribution channel platform that they can get their hands on, because they want to be able to create, right? Create content, build an audience, build then a community off the back of it. So everyone's looking for different platforms, but it's now everybody's getting into podcasting, or they're thinking, do I need to do YouTube as well as my TikTok, as well as my Instagram, et cetera, as well as my own website and all the above. I do think that there's going to be an increase in people understanding the importance of diversifying where they are producing content in order to then have more structure to their business. But I think ultimately the ones who are in it for the long haul, the ones that really see a successful and sustainable business off the back of being a creator, they are looking at how they can monetize their audience for themselves. I think that is for their own business. I think that's the bigger goal. But I think one of the beauties as well is that not everybody will do that and not everybody has to. You know, I think that because the industry now is so big, you are getting different niches. People are just like, do you know what? I'm just going to create content, UGC content to get me through college, because my dream is to then become a doctor, and I'm just creating content in college. It doesn't mean that they need to create the next biggest creator business if they're just looking for some passive income to help them during college. You know, I think different people's reasonings are going to change now, because there's just so many people have access to do it. But for us, for the most part, we do see the future of brands and businesses being community led, which will mean that you'll need to leverage your personal brand. You'll need to build community anyways. And that's what creators do. So if that's what the future of business looks like, then I will see a bigger shift in people just wanting to leverage those platforms to build those businesses.
Totally. That's a really interesting perspective. So thank you so much for sharing that. Switching gears a little bit, what is your biggest life hack? I mean, you are over there building a full-on tech company. Like, how do you do all that you do?
So my biggest life hack is time blocking and reviewing my tasks based on like sprints. So I'll say, okay, this week, my plan is to do X, Y, Z. I will time block that in my calendar. And then on a weekly, I'll review what I was able to do in that sprint, why I wasn't able to do it, certain things or the things I were able to do. Were they tasks, making sure those tasks are revenue driving tasks? So they're the tasks actually moving the needle forward with the business. If not, I should be delegating those tasks. But it's also about a continual improvement and refinement in how I'm spending my time is really, really important. And at the same time, not beating myself up about it. If like I ended up when I do my review, I'm like, hey, I didn't move the needle. I spent my time on things that I shouldn't have. But as you get more and more into business, you start to get more of an instinct as to that's where I should be like committing my time to. But yeah, it's about constant time blocking and also constantly reviewing on a week by week basis where I actually spent my time so I can continue to refine.
I like that. I like the like reflective part of that. I feel like that's unique.
I think that's important. I think that, you know, we've got big goals. I have big goals for the business. I then break down those big goals and work out, okay, what does that look like on a year basis, on a quarter basis, on a monthly basis? And then from there, I build out my to-do list. But things change, you know, the environment changes, the things could change in your team. So many things, so many variables. But if you don't slot in a time to reflect, then you think that you're going towards your North Star and actually you might look a year later and realize that you're completely off.
Yeah. Absolutely. That makes so much sense. So with so much going on, 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, how do you keep your mental health in tip-top shape? Is there something that you do on a week over week basis that works for you?
Yeah, I love this question because like mental health, mental wealth is super, super important for me to make sure that I'm keeping myself stress-free and that I can really enjoy what I do. Because I always say, you know, we don't have to run a business. No one's forcing us to run a business. It's by choice. So you want to be enjoying it as much as possible, even how challenging it is. You want to make sure that you're enjoying it. So for me, it's just about kind of the standard things. It's the gratitude, it's the manifesting, it's the kind of affirmations. I'm very, very big on waking up in the morning and saying, you know, my intention is to ground my energy to the earth every single morning when I wake up. I then say my affirmations. And also I talk about what I was grateful for the previous day. Those types of things keep me very, very grounded, as well as exercise. Exercise is very, very important to me. I'm a big Pilates girl. So I love any type of exercise that makes me feel, or exercise just generally makes you feel amazing, whether you're weight training, Pilates, you go cycling, whatever. Exercise is really, really important for me as well. And also as well, taking time out of the business. You know, very early, I'm probably sure when we spoke years back, I probably was very, very in the weeds of the business at the time. And I was probably, you know, letting it get on top of me in a way that I don't do now. I probably didn't have as much like extracurricular activities as I do now. And now I'm very, very balanced in a sense that I like to do things that outside of work that are creative for me, because that helps really reset my mind. And then when I re-enter work, I'm fully focused, but also it also helps me come up with new ideas for the business as well.
You need that balance. I totally, totally agree with that.
Yeah.
As a follow-up to the manifestation part, I feel like we're seeing so much of this online in content. There's so many different books. There's different creators that are solely focused on manifestation. Is there anything that you look to as a tool when it comes to that? Or are you just doing your affirmations, breath work? Like, what does that kind of look like for you?
Yeah, exactly. So I do a lot of breath work. I use a really great app called FitMind. It's an awesome app. Oh my goodness, I love it. That's really good to help with meditation. And then journaling mostly for me. Okay. I just have a standard journal and then I write down what I'm manifesting, what my goals are every single day, every morning, every evening.
Okay. Love that. Love that. So Chloe, what lights a fire in you? Why do you do all that you do?
I know what lights a fire in me. It is really empowering women to just live the life of their dreams online. I think that we've done an incredible job over the last 9 years building out a framework that can impact women in such a way that can build successful businesses. And when we're working with our clients every single day, I see that impact on their lives, and it's just the best and the most fulfilling feeling. And it really lights me up when they reach their new goals, their new revenue goals for their business, because I know that the work, they've been working really hard on it. And often when people come to us, they've got to that point where they've kind of plateaued, they don't know what to do next. They're so lost in the weeds of the algorithm and like what that they think their competitors are doing, and should they do this, should they do that, and then they burn themselves out because they can't look from an external viewpoint of the business. And when we come in and we kind of like just layer that and we kind of work on a plan for them, and when I start to see it come into action and that they're growing, and but not just they're growing in revenue, but also they're growing in kind of the mental wealth as well, because they're not in that space anymore, it really lights me up, because I just think it's such a beautiful thing to be able to support other women.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a fan of Chloe Digital and like the platform you guys are building out. And also even just like your email newsletters, like I want you to know, like they provide like tangible tips. And I think sometimes we need like actionable tips to motivate us. And I just feel like you guys are really doing a great job at that. Can anyone sign up for your email newsletters, or do you have to be signed up on the platform? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, anybody can sign up. It's just chloedigital.com/subscribe. And we send out a weekly newsletter every single Wednesday. One's going out tomorrow. I just approved it today. But yeah, I love that you said that, because I'm all for providing as much value as possible, especially for people who are just starting out, who maybe aren't ready for our service. I want them to know that like we want to build you up to get to that point. So we always are giving out free tips, whether it's on our newsletter, social media. I think that's really, really important.
Well, Chloe, as a last question, it's been so, so fun to have you back on the pod. Do you have any last words, a tip of advice, or something that you really want to like leave our audience with today?
Yes, absolutely. I want to leave the audience with something that's been on my mind quite a lot recently, is around money blocks. I put this on my Instagram the other day, and I it was one of those things that I didn't realize I had. And I think I probably, when we met, I probably had those money blocks without realizing that I had them. And the more, when someone told me about that term, and the more conversations I started to have with women, I realized that a lot of female entrepreneurs had money blocks, even if to others, they were deemed as successful, but to themselves, they knew they could go further, but there was something that was blocking them to do so. So when I started to investigate in that and then bring into our service how we can then help these women overcome those money blocks, to my point earlier, it really started to help them kind of understand the right things they need to be doing to move the needle with their business. So my parting thing is like, if you're a woman out there, an entrepreneur, and you need help kind of overcoming those money blocks to get to the next stage of your business and you need support, definitely seek us out. Like, we're here to help. If you want to learn more, you can go to chloedigital.com/grow and you can get all of the details there. But I think it's important in business to have people to support you. It's important to have accountability. Everybody needs it. I need it as well. You know, it's not just the people who are good at being entrepreneurs and the people that are bad. It's just the people that have support do better.
Totally. I actually haven't heard this term either. Can you like break it down for us or give us like an example?
Sure. So an example of a money block could be that you don't forgive yourself when you make a money mistake. So you may, for example, for your business, invest in a social media manager, and the social media manager is working away. And then you realize afterwards, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have paid for that social media manager. I should have used that money to hire an editor. But now you're beating yourself up about the fact that you spent that money and now you can't get it back. So you're thinking, am I a good entrepreneur because I made such a mistake? You may not have goals for actually reaching new revenue heights for your business. So you might just say, oh, you might be making, for example, $100,000 a year and say, I want to make $1 million, but you're not going to make $1 million overnight. And when you just give yourself a lofty goal like that, and then you don't reach it, you beat yourself up again because like, you weren't able to reach it because you didn't do anything hyper-specific. So these are kind of the things that we self-sabotage when it comes to growing in our business, and they're money blocks.
Okay, got it. So sort of in some ways, it sounds like unrealistic expectations too.
Yeah.
That we put on ourselves, and like maybe not finding a middle ground instead.
Yeah, and not working out a plan that's actually achievable to get to your next step.
Okay. Interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, Chloe, thank you so much for joining us again. Is there anything exciting coming up for you guys that you want to share before you go?
Thank you. This has been so, so fun. I absolutely love this format. It's such a vibe. The most exciting thing is, the framework, the growth framework that we work on with our clients. As I said, if anyone's interested, they can check it out at chloedigital.com /grow. But yeah, we're just super excited to continue to help more women reach their revenue goals.
I love that. Okay, cool. And then lastly, where can everyone keep up with you, find Chloe Digital on Instagram and all that jazz?
Sure. Yeah, so at Chloe Digital on Instagram and at Chloe Adelia as well.
Okay, perfect. Chloe, thank you so much. It was so nice to chat with you and also see you again.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope to be back in a couple more years.
Okay, perfect. You know, let's like not make it that long next time.
Good point.
All right, cool. Thank you so much, Chloe. Loved having you and we'll speak soon.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review, and tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. We always love connecting with you, and we'll catch you next time.